coming up on this episode of The Village Idiom.
It'd be great as a mockingbird. It's like, you're stupid and you have no friends. You're stupid and you have no friends. It's like, that is a mockingbird. Dum, dum, da-da, Village Idiom. Hello and welcome to The Village Idiom.
We are a podcast that every week we choose a popular saying and take an admittedly shallow, hopefully comedic, once in a while interesting, if we're lucky, educational dive into its usage, its meaning, its origins. But we're mostly going to use it to hang our otherwise directionless conversation on. My name is Jurassic Mark.
And I am Skinny. Do you have any impressions of, or people that you're like, you could like, you're solid at mimicking?
Yeah.
Because I thought briefly there you were doing like a little Christopher Walken.
Really? Oh, I can't do Christopher Walken.
Like, who would you go, oh, I've got a reasonable.
That's good. Like, legitimately, no.
You got a 20%er?
No.
He's not an impression person?
No, I feel like it's in me. I've never been able to pull it off. You know what I mean? Like,
when I hear it in my head, it sounds good.
Yeah.
And then outside, it's like people are like, who's that?
Yeah, I can do animals.
That's useful.
I can do an elephant.
Okay.
But better than most.
Okay.
Okay, let me warm up.
Okay.
Wait, oh, it failed already.
That's really great. Remember,
and then I used to be able to do a bird, like, or a chipmunk. Dog, I'm pretty good at. But I can't do people.
Those are pretty great, though.
Giraffe, check this out.
It's beautiful. Oh, on the video, how you twisted your neck into a pretzel like that was beautiful. It's difficult.
That's how we say hello.
It's difficult being like a giraffe. It must be just having that viewpoint on the world, like,
right?
That you're better than everybody else. Or...
Your segues are impeccable, my friend. Let me go to outer space to introduce... Actually, no, Earth. Someone from outer space on Earth is going to introduce today's...
Is it an alien?
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
Here we go.
Right now, I'm in the catbird seat.
I was going to say, is it Alf?
It is Alf.
Okay, good.
And he's in the catbird seat. Catbird seat is today's idiom, and of course it means this having an elevated point of view, giving you an advantage.
Yeah, this is not one that ever gets used, really. And
well, it's funny, because I didn't recognize it at all. And so I'm like, when I dig into this,
English.
I'm going to find out it's British. This is American.
British English. Really?
Yeah. We'll talk about it. But it's American, and it's used no effort finding clips. And
that surprises me.
Yeah.
I assumed it was English. I'm like, we do not use this. This is not a common idiom. But the idea of what it is.
What it is.
My sister's previous place, they had this like suction cup thing that went on the window for the cat.
Okay. Oh,
and
yeah.
So
yeah,
you
yeah.
could have like so if you had your sofa pushed against like a living room window,
they could hop up on their little ledge.
That, and then the suction cup cat bed thing that gave the cat like this dominant view of the house and look outdoors.
Catbird seat.
It's a catbird seat.
Yeah.
And that's visually, I'm like, so that must be what it is.
I've waited the last couple of episodes to tell this story because I knew catbird seat was coming up. 23 years ago, you and I and another friend jumped out of an airplane.
Yes.
23 years ago.
That's really crazy, actually.
Right? 2 weeks ago, I did it again.
Oops.
And this was such a different experience, like night and day.
Did you live?
Not only did I live, I would go again.
Oh, yeah.
Like, do you remember doing the first one? We were all like, eh.
Yeah, for sure. I'm still this way. I'm
yeah. Like, so
in,
it was mind over matter to do it again. It was for my niece's 25th birthday. Nobody would go with her. Uncle Mark, will you come with me? Absolutely, 100%. But I'm like, oh, man. So,
is it at the same place?
No, totally different place.
Okay.
Could not have been more professional. Never felt like my
Our first place could have been way more professional at every turn.
At every turn. This one was phenomenal. This time I went tandem. So
okay, so you get to go higher.
So higher and free falling. We did. I didn't know what it was called back then, or at least I didn't remember, but I learned through this experience that what we did before, which was jump out solo, but your line is pulled immediately, is called a static line.
Okay.
And so no free falling other than the time it takes for your chute
line
to open.
Our line wasn't attached.
What do you mean?
When we did it, you had a pilot chute.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's called a static line.
Okay.
And they toss that out when you let go. This time went tandem and everybody, I mean, you were checked and double checked and tripled probably six times before you're even in the plane. Like, I'm like,
so there's no, like, go to classes for hours?
No class. Oh, there was a 10-minute training.
Okay,
which was completely unnecessary.
I know we've shared bits and pieces of this our previous experience, but that was a 4-hour like class that we had to do in advance to jump by ourselves. The trainer wasn't there because he was drunk and hungover.
Everybody was drunk.
Everybody was drunk from the night before, so they had to call in somebody.
Yeah,
because I don't even know if they remembered our thing.
I mean, you could hardly see the ground.
It was ridiculous.
For the empties that were tossed everywhere.
When we got into the train, do you want to wait for a while? You know, while the trainer comes? Sure, I guess. You guys want to watch some adult films? Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Like, you want to sit down and watch adult films while our drunk teachers assemble?
We're like, skipping church to be here.
Like a bunch of like degenerate like superheroes.
So this time, pro. There was training, but it was maybe 10 minutes because you're with somebody.
Our training was so extensive and so jump out of your mind when those moments of terror happen.
Yeah, yeah.
Do this, do that. If you get sucked out of the side of the plane, then do this.
If you land on electrical wires.
If you're about 500 feet and you're in electrical wires, do this.
If you land in a cattle of...
You're going to break both your legs, but you'll survive.
A herd of cattle.
What?
Yeah, so this one, 10 minutes, which is exactly what you remember, like pelvis forward, arch your back. He goes, but if you forget, it doesn't matter. You're with a professional. That was the training. And so
that actually sounds better.
We get on a plane. The people that are with us, so my niece, I paid for her to have a video package too. So after I saw it, I wish I'd done it for myself because it's pretty great. But they're chatting, they're telling you everything was going
up. You got two for your
50th.
And
so me and Kayla are getting on this plane.
Oh, she's so lovely. I've met her.
Yeah. And we're getting on this little plane, and even the plane felt, do you remember that?
Yeah.
Sitting on tin. Can
it was four. So ridiculous.
So this,
and the end of our last one, wasn't it like a month later the plane crashed and killed
people?
It was
weeks, not months. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like we were that close to everything, beginning to end.
So we get up there, and as we're boarding the plane, they're like, good news. You and Kayla are going to have the best first jump ever. Good news. No extra charge. And then they kind of walk away. We're like, no extra charge for what? We're going to the ceiling today. These are all pros. They can't jump as low as you're supposed to jump. So what were we supposed to do? 10,000. We're going to 12,500. So
this is amazing. We did 5, I think. Ours was 5?
I can't remember. That makes sense because they pulled the chute at 5.
Okay.
So we went to 12,500.
So you had how many seconds of free fall?
45 seconds.
No.
Yeah.
That's like enough to like, actually, I'm experiencing this right now.
Actually, we were told it would be 45 seconds. The people that came to watch us, they said it was at least a minute because we went higher.
You were in the catbird seat.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to bring this up today. Oh, so when I said,
it's
how
way easier to look
while
down
we're going
on
up on the plane, while we're going up on the plane, I'm like, how high are we now? And they've all got the
altimeters.
Is that how you say it? Altimeter? Altimeter?
Altimeter, yeah.
Altimato?
Yeah.
You say
altimeter, I say altimeter. Altimeter, altimeter.
They're like, we're at 7,000. And the guy says, hey, listen. And this is before we jumped or anything. He's like, look at the ground now. He goes, this is 5,000. He said, we're going to 12,500. You won't be able to tell the difference. And he said, when we're falling, it's not like the ground is rushing at you.
At the end, though, it is.
And he was at the end.
It really comes up quick.
He's
at
like,
the end.
And he was absolutely right. Between 12,500 and 5,000, when we pulled the chute, it doesn't feel like you're falling. It feels like you're being suspended.
It's weightless.
Yeah.
Looking at the earth.
You're going 200 kilometers an hour towards the earth, however.
What?
Yeah.
Did you because you have the best stretchy mouth.
So that's one of the reasons I wished
okay.
I had gotten a video because Kayla...
Because you could actually put your whole fist in your mouth.
Thin and light, and her face was just... and her nostrils became mini parachutes. Like, it was... I'm like, what would I... Was I making it difficult for him with these nostrils? Right.
It's like, we got to catch up to them. You're slowing us down.
Exactly.
Your head is causing a draft.
And you fall, and so what I didn't expect... Because this is 2 weeks ago, hot summer, sunny day. The top of my head was frozen for that free fall.
Really?
I'm like, like unbearably cold on the top of my head.
Wow.
And as soon as you slowed down, it was gone. It's like a hot sunny day.
But when you're going 200 miles an hour.
At 12,500 feet. Yeah. It was cold.
Wow.
So yeah. And when we're just free falling, the guy on my back.
That puts you probably higher than any of the mountains in the region.
That's a good point. I don't know. But he's total control. Like free falling, no shoot,
miles, right?
And twist of his hand, he was like, that's see over that? 2 miles, yeah. That's downtown Vancouver. Psh, see that? That's White Rock or whatever. He's pointing things out, just pivots us wherever he wants to go. And then we pull the chute. And he's like, how you doing? I'm like, this is awesome. It was so great. He's like, you good with the turns? And gives us a big spin around. I'm like, yeah. And then I'm looking down. He goes, you got to look up on the turns. You'll get sick. I'm like, I'm good. He does another one. I'm looking down.
Wow.
Okay, watch the horizon. He's not messing around.
Oh, I'd be still.
Yeah, and I'm like, saying I'm going to puke at 5,000.
Wow.
What does puke look like falling?
200 kilometers an hour.
He's just so anyway. Like, I had a cat-bird view of the Lower Mainland and the Fraser Valley, and it was awesome. I would go again without blinking an eye. I actually looked up, like, how much training do you need to do this? And it's less than you'd think, but it's expensive.
Our mutual friend Dave, he got his scuba diving thing. This is, the ultimate, like, the inverse of you talk about terror in the water, like, from last week.
That's the catfish suit.
That's when you tell somebody you're attractive. You're in the catfish seat.
Yeah, that's right.
But you're a troll. No, so he went and got his scuba diving stuff. You're like, oh, like how intensive is it to get like some of these little courses?
Yeah,
just to enjoy and improve yourself. And no, I got my parachute license.
Yeah,
whatever.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
And so he completed his though.
Oh yeah, he's got like.
Seems like the dev guy wouldn't go halfway.
No, he got like the underwater ice training. Like in frozen lakes.
Oh, wow.
And disorienting and all the rest of those things. Yeah.
So it's not tropical scuba, I guess.
No, he showed me a video of him going out into the ocean, and he's got his room is in a little porthole. Like he's got the porthole out, and you can, more sharks than you can count.
Really?
I want to say 50 in the little video he sends. Like it's just sharks.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. These are like every reason why I'm disinterested in the water.
So jump out of a plane and possibly go splat or jump out of a boat and get eaten by shark.
Yeah, that's a tough one. Which one do I take? Well, see, some of those like...
jump out of a plane.
Great white sharks.
With another shark that's pushed out of a plane just flailing in the air at you.
they
you have an advantage because he's drowning. You're not. But
yeah, he's worried about his life. He's like, I can't breathe. You're like, it's about to get worse. but you see, those scuba guys will say like, it just went black. I felt like I got hit by a truck and everything just went black, and it went black because I was on the inside of a great white.
Actually,
yeah, like it,
and
like,
they live to tell
yes,
about it.
Yes, yes.
What?
Yes, it didn't just like bite a piece out. It enveloped him
and then spat him out.
Yeah. I guess I don't know if the tanks or whatever.
What?
Yeah.
That's a thing?
Yeah, the thing I was watching was.
Oh, is that on video anywhere?
I don't know.
Oh, man.
Some of those things are just monsters, right?
Yeah.
Oh, so, but then.
That's like swimming with the manta rays where they just block out the light above you.
I'm good. None of that stuff. Anything to do with the water is bad.
Manta ray on a parachute. 15-foot wingspan on manta ray.
Riding a manta ray down like a surfboard.
Yeah.
Yeah, until it at the very end it suffocates.
But what you land in the water, so it revives.
Wow, amen. That sounds like an experience.
Listen, we should probably
get it. It has water tanks, and then it has water tanks, pumping water through its little gill system while you surf it down
you
to
give
the
it
ocean.
Water. It says tanks,
and then you hit the water. It takes off and continues the journey to the bottom of the ocean, and
now
you have an air.
Oh. How is this not in one of the Fast and the Furious movies?
Yeah, it will be. Oh my goodness, Fast and the Furious! We're in outer space. We took a jet car off a ramp.
We're riding a manta ray towards the ocean.
Thanks, Aquaman. Anyways,
all right. Well, what do you think?
So it's nonsense. We should actually find out where it comes from.
All right, let's do it. Let's do it. I said
some words. Where'd they go? Where'd they go? No one can know. I turned around and looked.
Look at her butt. Is that what you were going to say?
No. Oh. I was going to say, look at your shirt. It is so great. Jurassic Mark shirt.
Yeah. This was given to me by, did she have a username? Remember she,
I'm not sure. This is a Crystal. Great shirt. Oh, I know Crystal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah.
She gave you a mug, I think. And I got this
mug.
Shirt.
I got a Ron Burgundy mug.
I think I've talked about this. This shirt, when she gave it to me, I'm like, oh man, why'd she give me a large? It just looked ridiculous on me. Now I wish it was an extra large. I'm not even kidding.
The dryer got to it. Oh, man, I'm wearing a match set today. Yeah,
give us your catbird seat view of what you're wearing today.
Feeling.
This is,
feeling,
ladies and gentlemen, this is a moment of vulnerability.
The pipes in there.
Yeah, right, there's the arms, the jean jacket, jean shorts. Good. If you can't see this online, his back of his jean jacket says, "Good morning, sunshine."
Yes.
Yeah, that's the name of our new podcast coming out.
The morning show.
Good morning, sunshine. By
fantastic.
Skinny and Jurassic Mark. Still,
yeah,
this is the same
mornings.
Show. We just transfer the recording.
That had nothing
over.
To do with our origins, but I just was admiring your shirt.
You had to get up to a catbird seat for us to see that.
Well, there you go. So what is the origin of this bad boy?
Well, we've talked about its definition. It's used to describe an enviable position. So you're often in terms of having the upper hand or greater advantage or a bird's eye view even on something that other people don't know. If you have an advantage, you have the catbird seat. So according to Douglas Harper's Online Etymological Dictionary, the phrase refers to the gray catbird and was used in the 19th century in American South. So the gray catbird is an American bird, North American bird. It's a mockingbird, which is why. Did you know that already? Did you know that the catbird is a mockingbird?
I didn't know it was an actual bird.
No, because at the beginning you were like, "Can you mimic anybody?"
Oh,
so I thought you were leading us into mockingbirds.
No, that's beautiful. Yes, I was. I was totally doing that.
Okay,
well, that's exactly what I was.
This
doing.
Is what a gray catbird actually sounds like. But it's also known as a mockingbird, so it can do some other things. But most famously, it meows like a cat.
That's great.
And so this is a gray catbird meowing like a cat. And I'll be honest, when I heard this the first time, I'm like, that's not that great of a meow.
Oh, that's really close, actually. My cat was doing this last night.
Does it sound like a cat?
Sounds like a cat.
All right, maybe I just don't know my cats. Anyway, that's
really great.
That's a gray catbird. And so the gray catbird is also known for not really hiding itself. It sits high atop, out of reach of predators, but fully exposed.
It'd be great as a mockingbird. It's like, you're stupid and you have no friends. You're stupid and you have no friends. It's like, that is a mockingbird. How about, we do have the ha-ha birds here.
What's
I don't know
mean?
Their actual names of the bird, but they go,
really?
Yeah, wait till you listen to it. Next time you're in the forest.
It's gonna stand out.
It's like Nelson from The Simpsons.
Wait till you're in the forest. That sounded a bit like a threat.
Wait till you're out in the forest.
Okay, so that's the American gray catbird.
Okay.
The phrase refers to that bird and was used in the 19th century in the American South. According to the Oxford English Dictionary that we refer to many times, the first documented use occurred in 1942 humorous short story by James Thurber, and it was called, surprisingly enough, The Catbird Seat, which features a character, Mrs. Barrows, who likes to use this phrase. Another character, Joey Hart, explains that Mrs. Barrows must have picked up the expression from the baseball broadcaster Red Barber, who is a real radio baseball broadcaster and legitimately used the fact that he was sitting in the catbird seat up there as the broadcaster
games.
To call games.
Wow.
So
his name is legitimately Red Barber.
Pardon me? Yeah.
That's a pretty awesome name.
And he has a phrase. We'll come back to the phrase. But according to Colonel Bob Edwards' book, which was called Fridays with Red, which was Conversations with Red Barber, Barber claimed that Thurber got his and many other expressions from him. So he must have been just one of those guys that would throw these little metaphors that he made up himself and they stuck for whatever reason. And Barber first heard him, heard the term catbird seat in a poker game by his friend Frank Koch. in a poker game in Cincinnati during the Great Depression, Barber describes in one hand in which he raised repeatedly but ended up losing when Frank Koch said, turned over the whole cards, showed a pair of aces, and won the pot. Frank Koch said, "Thank you, Red. And I had those aces from the start. I was sitting in the catbird seat." The last interesting part, if I can find it here, is there's a second idiom that came from the same phrase. Red Barber would often say he's sitting pretty in the catbird seat. How often do you use the phrase? More often than catbird seat, do you say, "Oh, I was sitting pretty for that one"?
Sitting pretty.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, so sitting pretty.
Oh, I like that. I actually used that phrase.
The catbird seat and sitting pretty were synonymous at the time. Now their meanings have changed. You would say
Red Barber, we call Frank Koch over.
Yeah, sitting pretty, like a batter with three balls and no strikes.
Sitting pretty.
Sitting pretty means you got it made.
Everything's
you got it
going
easy.
Really great for you.
Yeah, catbird seat is a
pretty.
Point of view. They both came from the same phrase,
well, aren't you
but
sitting
separated
right now?
In meaning.
Wow.
Cool, eh?
Yeah, kind of mean the same thing.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, you have an advantage. Ah, you're sitting pretty.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
I do use sitting pretty.
Thank you, Red Barber.
A catbird seat, no.
For one phrase that gave us two idioms.
I love it.
Yeah.
That's a powerful one.
And then he, in turn, credited Frank Koch in the poker game for having the catbird seat. He knew he had the aces, so there's an advantage, right? He knew he had this pair of aces, didn't care what happened around the table. He was in the catbird seat because he had this point of view.
Reminds me... Current things in the news related to political people and they're living in DC political people, and then being able to use their advanced knowledge of what's coming up in events because of lobbying and all the rest of it for insider trading.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah.
That'd be the catbird seat.
You're in the
catbird
seat.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're using advantage.
And then afterwards, you're sitting pretty.
Yes. Yeah, I didn't know it actually developed a cottage industry around people who would only do stocks the way that politicians did.
What do you mean?
So if you're like...
You just watch what the politicians do,
whatever, because of some freedom of information related thing, to know what their investments were, that you just invest in whatever
just
they're
copy.
Investing in, copy
just
what
copy.
They're doing.
Yeah. Wow, that makes sense.
Taking advantage, but so this industry that developed around people taking advantage of people's taking advantage.
So it's a catbird seat of the people
squared.
Who have the catbird seat.
Yeah.
Everybody ends up sitting pretty.
Yeah, this is fascinating.
Yeah. So there you go.
There's a, you know, it's a bit of a scam when people in these places of influence that have this insider knowledge to be able to do that. And there's a book of poetry and scammers called Pros and Cons.
That's
there's not, but
there's not.
There's not. But
oh, I thought that was just a fantastically
pros
titled
and cons
book for
yeah,
that.
It would be a great
yeah.
book. How I followed the inside trading of politics. Pros and cons.
Poetry and scams.
Yeah.
Pros and cons.
575.
That's great.
Making sure to do haikus.
Listen, I'll tell you something.
Low cues.
I got to tell you something.
Sure.
Riddlink is a game we like to play. It takes a two-part trivia-based question.
Oh,
it requires a two-part but overlapping answer, overlapping by sound, syllable, word, or word. So, for example, last week, our idiom was, your bark is worse than your bite, and we left you with this one.
Okay.
Whatchamacallit, Kit Kat, and Mars are all examples of what it means to be all talk, no action. One more time, whatchamacallit, Kit Kat, and Mars are all examples of what it means to be all talk, no action. The correct answer is...
chocolate bark is worse than the bite.
That's right. So it's not chocolate bar, it's not bark is worse than its bite. Chocolate bark is worse than its bite.
I was going with Hershey bark. Hershey bar. But it wasn't. It's a chocolate bar.
Just chocolate.
That's why I was going into Pennsylvania.
Oh, last week you mentioned Pennsylvania, right?
Here we go. Well, I have a couple prepared for this week.
Great. I got two to come right back at you. Hopefully they're not the same.
There's an entire possibility it might.
Okay.
Because there's only so many things going on here. So, being an inquisitive feline causes death. Being an inquisitive feline causes death while perched in a place of advantage. Being an inquisitive feline causes death while perched in a place
this
of advantage.
A double idiom.
Yeah.
Curiosity killed the catbird seat?
Yes.
Nice. That's great.
This is the one I thought you were for sure going to use that
one. Nope. Okay. I'll give you my first one is Actually, I'm going to swip around. I think the other one's better to leave hanging. This type of seat gives you an advantage, but this blindfolded Sandra Bullock makes a good movie. This type of seat gives you an advantage, but this blindfolded Sandra Bullock makes a good movie. I actually referenced this movie last week.
Yeah, I want to go, like, it's a, the Bird Box is the movie. Bird.
This type of seat.
Something to do with bird. Bird Box. It's a seat that has bird.
Are you messing with me right now?
Cat Bird Seat. Cat Bird Box.
Yeah.
Okay, I was, there's too many things in there. So it's a cat bird box.
This type of seat, yeah.
Okay, cat that's why box. I was like, so I was really messed up by the usage of the word seat.
Right, that's like, why
did he,
I did.
Yes, and I was like, I think he might have goofed this one up, but you didn't. Very nice.
Okay, good. Okay, okay. I got one more. You got one more?
Yeah, and it's also a possibility of an overlap. An idiom of power and advantage, where random plans win over structured plans.
One more time.
An idiom of power and advantage, where random plans win over structured plans.
Man, catbird seat. But all I can think of is flying by the seat of your pants.
Yes.
So say it one more time to
okay.
me.
Okay. An idiom of power and advantage, where random plans win over structure.
Oh, is it just yes. catbird seat of your pants?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Nice.
Okay, got it. Okay, I got one more.
Fantastic.
I was trying to keep and we did the words flying by in there.
Yeah. I was trying to include the word seat. I get where you went. Well, this is a fun time, and we would love to hear from you. Reach out to us.
This is fun time.
It's meaningful. But drop us a message on Instagram at the.village.idiom or email us thevillageidiompodcast@gmail.com or whether it's the Facebook, the YouTubes, or the X at 3 minutes gone.
All right, I think you'll enjoy this one. If that mockingbird don't sing, mama's going to buy you a Johnny Cash song.
One more time.
If that mockingbird don't sing, mama's going to buy you a Johnny Cash song.
And that is 3 minutes gone. Folsom Prison, I can't get it.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll work it out. Well, it was definitely fun. It's fun hanging out with y'all today. Did that you have fun?
Fun day.
Fun day. Happy fun time.
Is that what you said? Fun day? Fun time? Fun time. This is fun time.
I'm Skitty.
I'm Jazzy Bear.
And these are the Village Idioms.
And sure, the catbird seat is something. And that's 3 minutes gone.